Okay, hello, and welcome to Heretic Social Justice Minus Dogma. This is your host, Sam Killerman. Yes, that is my last name. And this show is brand new. This is the first episode of this show where I'm going to be talking with guests, with activists, with authors, with educators and artists and people who have been involved in the social justice movement about social justice, the movement, and the dogma that might be preventing us from accomplishing our goals. This episode isn't really an episode, though. I wanted to take a moment in this episode and the next two that follow to talk about the show at a bit more of a 30,000-foot view. So this is a prologue of sorts, and in this first prologue, I'm going to talk all about the show. I'm going to talk about my goals for the show, how I'm hoping it'll work, and I'm going to define some things, like what is social justice dogma, and why might that be something that's worth talking about. So with that all in mind, I hope you'll understand that this is not technically an episode, but it is as well. And I am looking forward to seeing where this goes. So thanks for being here, and let's get into it.
Heretic, I wish I didn't have to do a magic trick to get the world to listen to a new idea. Well, here's to the fight. I'll pick, I guess I'll be the heretic.
What you were just listening to was the Heretic jingle, which was written and performed by Mike Mentz. I am so pumped to have a theme song. I feel like a 90s TGIF sitcom, like I Am Family Matters, and I could not be more thrilled, and I think Mike did such a good job. So thank you, Mike, for that, and I will stop gushing and get into this thing. The place where I thought it'd be helpful for us to start is by walking through the description of the show itself. You've probably read it if you're here, and if you haven't, I'm going to read it out loud here, and I wanted to walk through it because I think that it might actually create more questions than answers, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So here it is. Heretic is about the social justice movement and the unwritten rules that underpin and may undermine it. We have guest activists, authors, and artists who have been pushed to the fringes by the movement, spent their lives fighting for social justice or fighting against it. It's a light conversation about the darkness in society. So I want to walk through each one of those parts and talk about what I'm talking about there so that you can have a better understanding of what to expect in this show. And I can just refer back to this first episode when I'm talking with people or in the middle of a conversation instead of having to keep reiterating or repeating these things. So that first part, Heretic is about the social justice movement and the unwritten rules that underpin and may undermine it. What I'm talking about there is what I've been calling for years the social justice dogma. For several years now, I've spent a lot of time at conferences and other education spaces that are focused in some way on social justice or gender or sexuality. And at those conferences, for several years, I've been having these conversations that for a while I didn't have a name for. And eventually they became conversations about what I started calling the social justice dogma. And they would always have a similar feel. I'd be at a conference, and after a session, I'd be chatting with one of the other speakers, or maybe it'd be in the lobby after a day of conference, and I'd see one of the speakers, and we'd start talking. And after a few minutes, we'd hone in on something that was a pain point in their life, in their work. A lot of these people are leaders of national organizations, or authors or researchers. They're all social justice people. They're people who believe in the goals of social justice. They want to live in a world that is just. They want to live in a world where people of all identities have access to things like health and understanding and education and safety. They want that outcome, and they're working towards it. And nonetheless, we'd hit on this pain point, and it would be something that was coming from within the social justice movement that was obstructing their goals. And that pain point would always look different. It would always look different. I don't want to get into the details on that just now, but the feeling of it or the feeling around it was the same. And it was this feeling that that we shouldn't be talking about it, that if people found out we were talking about this particular thing, then it would be bad for us. It might result in us being publicly dragged on social media. It might result in them losing their job, or us being excommunicated from the social justice movement, us being cast out as a pariah. And that all said, we still felt like we had to talk through these things because they were real barriers that were preventing them from being able to do the work. And they always felt like things that needed to be questioned or at least processed or worked through. Whether or not they were helpful or harmful, we weren't sure. But ultimately, we knew that we needed to be able to talk about them, about these issues, if we wanted to figure that out. And the feeling was that we couldn't talk about those things. Now, that happened for years. And I knew for a while that I was not the right person to be talking about these things publicly. Within social justice, there's this concept that I think of as the social justice power inverse. And if you hold a lot of minoritized identities or oppressed or targeted identities, then your voice holds different weight within the movement. If you don't hold a lot of visibly minoritized identities or targeted or oppressed identities, then your voice doesn't hold as much weight within the movement. And I'm a person who has or who holds a lot of majoritized or dominant group identities. So because of that, I've often focused more on doing the work and less on talking about the work. And when we started to have these conversations about social justice dogma stuff, I realized that this, of all the things, is the thing that I'm the least suited to be talking about. So I didn't. But then those conversations kept happening. And they were always between me and other people like me, other speakers or educators or activists, for a while. But then they started to bleed out into the culture as a whole. And that was about, for me at least, about 2 years ago. And when that started happening, when I started noticing other people talking about social justice dogma, they weren't using that language, but that's what they were talking about. They were talking about these unwritten rules. They were talking about, as I've defined it, that the social justice dogma is a set of beliefs, stances, and acceptable actions laid down by authorities within the social justice movement that we hold as incontrovertibly true. And when people were talking about those things, not social justice people, not people who wanted the goals of social justice, but people who were opposed to social justice, they were highlighting these dogmatic principles in ways that I had never seen a person within the movement do so publicly, but in ways that were very similar to some of the conversations that I had been having privately. And when that started happening, I realized that we need to have this conversation publicly. Because if the only people who are talking about these issues, these potential internal barriers that we're creating, or these paradoxes, or these sometimes impossible to follow rules that are only hurting, or maybe not, we don't know. But if the only people talking about these things are people who don't believe in the outcomes of social justice, or the people who are very against those outcomes, then it's not doing us any good. And if we continue to avoid talking about these things publicly, at the risk, or because we're afraid of the public shaming and the public outrage and the reactionary response that is inevitable, then we're not going to be able to move forward through these issues. So that's what this show is, or that's what I hope it will be. For several months now, I've been interviewing people and talking with people about these different principles. I've been calling them the tenets of the social justice dogma. I've written about some of this stuff publicly, and I can link to that in the show notes. And I've realized that the best way that I think I can contribute to this conversation is by interviewing people who have a lot to say and doing my best to learn from them. Because I don't know the answers to this stuff. I don't know if a particular principle is harmful or helpful. And ultimately, I don't think we know as a community. And my hope is that if we can process through these things, we might be able to end up on the other side with some steps, with some actions that we can take, or with a better understanding of the issue in such a way that it changes our ability to act or to move forward in the future. That might give you a better understanding of what the description of the show is. I want to talk a little bit more about the production of the show, and then I'm going to end this prologue, because I really do want this to be a little self-contained thing, something that's useful in its own way, but that doesn't bleed into the show itself. So that's why I'm not talking about specific tenets or really getting into these examples of social justice dogma just yet. So as far as the production goes, this show was supposed to come out before it did. And there's a lot of backstory to that I'm not going to get into here. But the important part that I am going to talk about is that I am doing this show by myself at this point. So with that in mind, I have a limited amount of bandwidth, and I'm going to be doing everything that I can to use that in ways that serve the show, but that also allow me to be able to care for my puppy. So I am going to invite as much participation from you, from listeners, from the audience, from the community as possible. And I'm doing that in a few different ways. I built the site for the Heretic podcast from the ground up to really, I hope, serve as a community platform for this conversation. So every episode will get its own page on that site. Generally, I'll probably talk about what that, or I'll link that or tell you what it is in the episode. So for example, this episode will be hereticpodcast.com/episodes/1 and the number one. So you'll be able to find this episode there. It'll be easy to find if you just go to the website as well. And with each episode, there will be links to the resources that are mentioned. There will be a written up description of the show, and I will be able to take questions from people through the Heretic Podcast website. People have actually already submitted questions, and this isn't even out yet, which is really interesting. And I'm resisting the urge to jump into those, but I already asked some questions. So you can find those on the Heretic Podcast website. And also, I'm producing this podcast using an app called Anchor. So if you're already using that app to listen to the podcast, great. You're not going to have to do anything extra to do what I'm about to talk about. But if you haven't used that app and you want to participate, download the Anchor app. This isn't an ad or any sort of a sponsorship. This is just something that I'm really excited to share. So download the Anchor app. It's a purple icon. And if you listen to the show using that app, you can just search for it, Heretic Podcast on the, or Heretic Social Justice Minus Dogma, or Heretic Sam Killerman. Any one of those should bring it up. If you listen to the app or listen to the podcast in the Anchor app, you'll be able to ask me questions through voicemails. So I will be listening to those, and I'll be including some of them in the show as we go forward. So by all means, leave me a voicemail through the Anchor app. Submit a question through the Heretic Podcast website. If you have an idea for a guest, please, please, please let me know. HereticPodcast@gmail.com. You'll be able to get me. And I want to hear from all of you, because I want this conversation to be useful. And the only way I can know that that's happening is if you tell me if it is or isn't. And if it isn't, constructive criticism is always welcome. And I would love to hear what thoughts you have to make this better. So with that all said, thank you so much for listening. This, again, is not an episode. Episodes will be significantly longer. Oh, and actually, I'll talk about that right now. So this will be a long-form podcast. The interviews that I've already recorded have been between 1.5 hours and 2.5 hours. That's not going to be the requirement. I'm totally happy to do shorter interviews, and I'd be happy to do longer ones. But I really do want to leverage something that is uniquely special about podcasts as a medium, or as a media, which is that they can be long form, and we can really get into the details of a conversation. And you can't do that very easily through like a YouTube video or an article online. A 40,000 word article isn't something that someone's necessarily going to want to read, but a 2-hour podcast is something that, if it's good, I hope you'll be willing to listen to. So I'm not going to be limiting the length of the conversations. I'm going to be letting them run. Okay, and that's it. This one I'm not going to let run, because this is prologue 1, and it is now over.